Smith of Wootton Major.
According to the dictionary, fairies are small supernatural beings believed to possess magical powers and to have great influence for good or evil over the lives of men. The trouble is, the real folk of faery are quite different and do not always look like what they are. Their paths and ours seldom meet. And even upon the borders of faery, we encounter them only at some chance crossing of the ways, as happens in this tale. There was a village once, not very long ago for those with long memories, nor very far away for those with long legs. Wootton Major it was called, because it was larger than Wootton Minor, a few miles away, but it was not very large. And in this village lived Smith.
Stand back. Now, stand back. The sparks are going to fly.
How did you get to be a Smith, Smith?
Well, for one thing, it was my name. You see, my father was Smith before me, so I grew up with hammers and anvils.
Me dad says you're the best Smith for miles around.
Well, I dare say he's right. Here, Ned, get that heated up again.
Yeah, right, Father.
Can you make anything, Smith?
Anything and everything you could ever need or wish for, so long as it's made of iron. Farm tools, carpenter's tools, pots and pans, bars, bolts and hinges, pot hooks, fire dogs and horseshoes. All of them strong and lasting, good to look at and good to handle.
Are you the most important person in the village, Smith?
Dear me, no, that'd be the master cook.
Why him?
Because what Wootton Major is most famous for is its cooking. That's why the master cook lives in that grand house beside the great hall, whereas Ned and I just live here in the smithy.
Do you go to all the feasts in the hall?
There are so many feasts and festivals in this village, if I went to all of them, I'd never get any work done. But I've been to a good few, including the 24 feast.
Why is it called that, Smith?
Don't you young'uns know any history? Because it's only held once in 24 years, and only 24 children are invited.
How'd you get to go?
That's difficult. You only get an invitation if you're being good. Aww. Which is why it's also known as the Feast of Good Children.
Aww. Do we have lots to eat?
Oh, of course. For that occasion, the master cook is expected to do his best, especially with the great cake. My grandfather was master cook many years ago. But that's the beginning of a long story.
Tell us!
Very well, then. I was only a few years old at the time, but one day, to everyone's surprise, my grandfather suddenly announced that he needed a holiday, and away he went. When he came back, some months later, everyone said he seemed different, changed somehow.
Where'd he been?
Nobody knew, and they didn't like not knowing, nor did they like the first thing he told them when he got back.
Be pleased to know that I have not come back to you empty-handed. I found myself an apprentice.
What apprentice?
Meet Alf.
Hello.
Why this wispy young thing?
Well, scarcely more than a child.
Doesn't look strong enough to beat an egg.
I'm keeping my eyes open, I used to say, and I'll choose an apprentice when I find one to suit me. Well, now I've found one.
I'll serve the master and all of you as best I can.
That remains to be seen.
Anyway, what's wrong with a local lad for apprentice? Oh,
yeah. Listen, the choosing of an apprentice is the master cook's affair and no one else's. And as I've said, I've made my choice.
And so he had. 3 years later came another surprise.
Alf?
Yes, master?
Well, lad, this is it.
Why are you folding up your aprons?
Because I won't be needing them anymore. I'm off. I'll leave you to manage things as best you can, which is always very well. Goodbye for now, Alf.
Goodbye. I shall miss you, Master. I don't think the village is going to be too pleased with this news.
Oh,
What do you mean he's not coming back?
What a thing to do.
And no one to take his place.
There's me.
You? You're still just a lad.
What about Nooks?
Nooks? Poor cooking's better than none.
But what about the great cake?
It's 7 years till the next great cake, and by that time he should be able to manage it.
Right then. Nooks it is.
So, Nooks it was. He did his best, and he had Prentice to help him. But in due course, the time for the 24 feast drew near.
Prentice!
Yes, Master?
Prentice, about this great cake. It's going to be pretty eagerly awaited, they always are.
I'm sure your cake will be much enjoyed, Master.
The trouble is, it's not only going to please the children, it's going to be able to satisfy the severest critics.
Were you wondering if I had any ideas, Master?
Oh, gracious, no. You're only the Prentice, Alf. I'm the Master Cook. No, I was simply about to tell you the kind of cake that we are going to make.
Of course, Master.
Oh, I think it must be sweet.
Yeah.
And pretty and fairy-like. That's it. Fairy-like.
I'm not sure I know what you mean by fairy-like, Master.
Oh, stupid boy. Well, you must know what a fairy looks like.
I just wondered what you thought they looked like.
Well, they got wings, of course. You know, like a butterfly.
Ah.
What I'll have is a little doll, dressed all in white, with a wand in her hand ended in a tinsel star, on a kind of miniature mountain. Yes, with little trees up the sides and the words Fairy Queen written in pink icing round her feet. What do you say to that, Prentice?
It's certainly an idea, Master.
And don't forget it was mine. Well, haven't you got any work to do, lad, standing around chattering all day? Prentice!
Coming, Master.
Somewhere or other there's a box of spices which that last Master Cook left behind when he wandered off into the blue. Where is it, do you know?
Why, yes, Master, where it's always been, on that shelf just above your head.
Well, reach up and get it down for me. Calls himself an apprentice.
Here you are, Master.
Oh, dear, dear, dear. Dust. Oh, there's nothing much left in here. And what is left is pretty musty and probably useless. Hello? What's this? It looks like a star. Some kind of metal. But it's tarnished. That's funny.
No, it isn't.
What do you mean, if it isn't?
It's fae.
It's what?
It comes from the realm of fairy.
How would you know? Now get on with stoning those raisins.
What are you going to do with the star, Master?
Oh, and put it in the cake, of course. It's just a thing. I dare say you've been to children's parties where trinkets like this have been stirred into the cake mixture.
But this isn't a trinket, Master. It is a fae star.
Oh, very well. You tell the children, it'll make them laugh.
I don't think it will, Master. But it's the right thing to do. Quite right.
Who do you think you're talking to? Anyway, since you seem to be set on fairies, I'll let you make the Fairy Queen to put on the cake.
Very good, Master. I'll do it if you're too busy. But it was your idea, not mine.
Yeah. It's my place to have ideas, and yours to do what you're told.
And then came the day of the feast, and that I remember very well indeed, for I was one of the 24 children who were chosen to attend.
And now it's time for the great cake.
Yay!
Hurry along, Prentice.
Come in, Master.
Place it within the ring of 24 red candles. Oh. And now sharpen the knife.
It's a mountain
covered in ice.
And there's tiny fir trees on the slopes.
And their branches. Yes.
And on the very top of the mountain, such a pretty little girl.
She's dressed all in white like the snow.
With pretty little wings.
Yeah, and there's a matching
she's
wand.
She's a snow maiden.
Oh, don't be stupid. She's a fairy.
She's a fairy queen. It says yeah. So.
Have you sharpened that knife, Prentice?
I think you'll find it sharp enough, Master.
Now, my dears, before I start cutting, I should tell you that inside this lovely icing, there's a cake. Made of many nice things to eat.
Yeah.
And stirred well in are some pretty trinkets and little coins and whatnot.
And I'm told that it's lucky to find one in your slice. There are 24 in the cake, so there should be one for each of you, if the Fairy Queen plays fair. But she doesn't always do so. She's a tricky little creature. You ask Mr. Prentice, isn't that so?
If you say so, Master.
What are you staring at, lad?
Nothing, Master. Nothing at all.
But it wasn't nothing. His eyes gleamed in the light of the candles, and I knew he was staring at me.
Oh, but no, I'm forgetting. There's 25. Oh. There's also a little silver star. Oh. The special magic one, or so Mr. Prentice says. I expect it's a specially lucky thing to find. But be careful, if you break one of your pretty front teeth on it, the magic star won't mend it.
Every now and then a trinket or coin was discovered. Some found one, some found two, several found none. And as for me...
Oh! I found a silver coin!
Let me see.
Here.
You're lucky. I wish I'd found one.
Nothing in your slice, Nell?
No. Never mind.
Then you can keep mine.
Thank you, Smithson.
Well, now, who's found the magic star?
Not me,
I do. Oh, no one found it. Oh, bless me. And it can't be made of silver after all. It must have melted. Perhaps Mr. Prentice was right. And it was really magical. And it's just vanished and gone back to fairyland. Not a nice trick to play, I don't think, eh, Prentice? What's with the dark looks? We all make mistakes, lad.
Not about such things.
What had happened to it was that one of the boys at the feast had swallowed it.
How do you know all this?
Because I was the boy.
What happened to you?
Come on, Smith, tell us.
Nothing.
Nothing?
At least not for many months. The feast had been in midwinter, but I didn't find out about the star until one day in June. It was my birthday, my 10th birthday.
So how did you find out?
Well, the nights were hardly dark, and I couldn't sleep. So I got up, long before dawn. I looked out of the window, and a little breeze, cool and fragrant, stirred the waking trees.
The world seemed quiet and expectant.
Then the dawn came. And far away, I heard the dawn song of the birds beginning.
That music reminds me of those stories of the realm of faerie. Except in those stories, the people are always singing too.
Then I began to sing.
La 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 la.
Singing a melody that he seemed to know by heart. And in that moment,
the star fell out of my mouth.
And he caught it on his open hand.
Bright silver!
And without thinking, I clapped my hand to my head, and there the star stayed, in the middle of my forehead.
La, 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 la.
He sang as he worked at his forge and anvil. And when Smith began to sing, those nearby stopped their own work and came to the smithy to listen.
I married Nell, the girl I gave the silver coin to that I'd found in the great cake. And we had a son called Ned, and later a daughter, Nan.
And that was all that most people knew of Smith of Wootton Major. But there was more to know.
For I had discovered the road to the perilous realm, the realm of faerie, and I was welcome there.
For the star shone bright on his brow, and he was as safe as any mortal can be in that perilous country.
At first, I walked quietly among the gentler folk and creatures of that land, in the woods and meads of fair valleys. Later, in longer journeys, I saw things of both beauty and terror. I saw a great ship cast high upon the land, and the elven mariners it carried were tall, and a piercing light was in their eyes. And I came to a dale where light like a red sunset came up from a deep lake. And looking down, I saw to an immeasurable depth. At last, I found the road through the outer mountains, and I went on till I came to the inner mountains.
Upon a day of days, greatly daring, he came through a narrow cleft and looked down, though he didn't know it, into the Vale of Evermorn.
On a lawn, beside a river bright with lilies, were many maidens dancing. Suddenly they stood still, and then a young maiden with flowing hair came out to meet me.
You are becoming bold, Starbrow, are you not? Have you no fear what the Queen might say if she knew of this?
I...
You imagine that the star on your forehead gave you the liberty to go wherever you wished?
Yes, I did think that. And now I know that it does not.
Come, take my hand. Come into the ring. And for a while you will have the swiftness and the power and the joy to accompany me in our dance.
For a while, she had said, and all too soon the dance was ended.
Here, this is for you, Starbrow. A white flower picked from the Vale of Evermorn. Let me set it in your hair. Now, farewell. Maybe we shall meet again, by the Queen's leave.
Of my journey home from that meeting, I remember nothing.
Well, Nell, I'm back.
Dear man, where have you been? And what have you seen?
Daddy!
Hello, little Nan.
Your star's shining bright.
Oh, there's a flower in your hair, see?
Where's it from, Dad?
A long way away.
Now it's here.
I'm filling the house with light.
And shadows. Your shadow, Dad, makes you look like a giant.
The flower didn't wither or grow dim. I made a little casket with a key for it, and we kept it as a secret and a treasure.
Time passed. The years had not halted in the village. Noakes had retired, Alf had become master cook, and another 24 feast was due.
One day, in the autumn of that year, I made a far journey, longer than any I had yet made, though I recall little of the ways that I took.
Often blindfolded by mist or by shadow, he was guided and guarded until he came to a high place under a night sky of innumerable stars.
There I was brought before the Queen herself.
Come. Approach. Approach.
I know you now.
Yes. We danced once in the Vale of Evermorn. And I gave you a white flower. Come, I would talk with you.
And we spoke long together, for the most part without words.
But what is this? Why do you weep?
For a shameful memory.
A memory of what?
Of long ago, of a little dancing figure with a wand on a mountain made from sugar. Of the name Fairy Queen taken in vain.
Do not be grieved for me, Starbrow, nor too much ashamed of your own folk. Better a little dull, maybe, than no memory of fairy at all. For some, the only glimpse. For some, the awakening. Now, at farewell, I will make you my messenger. If you meet the king, say to him, the time has come. Let him choose.
But, Lady of Fairy, where then is the king?
If he has not told you, Starbrow, then I may not. But he makes many journeys and may be met in unlikely places. Now, kneel to your courtesy.
My lady. After a while, I raised my head and stood up.
Dawn was in the sky. The stars were pale.
She's gone. I must return home, although my way leads to bereavement. At length, I reached the woods of Outer Fairy. Footsteps came behind me, but I was deep in thought, and at first I didn't heed them.
Are you going my way, Starbrow?
What? I don't know. What way are you going, then?
I'm going back to your village now, and I hope that you are also returning.
I am, indeed. Let's walk together. I've just remembered something. Before I began my homeward journey, a great lady gave me a message. But we shall soon be passing from Fairy, and I don't think I shall ever return. Will you?
Yes, I shall. You may give your message to me.
Ah, but the message was to the king. Do you know where to find him?
I do. What was the message?
The lady only asked me to say to him, "The time has come, let him choose."
I understand. Trouble yourself no further.
Do I know you, sir?
If I throw back my hood, you may recognise me. There. Now do you know me, Smith?
Why, yes. You're Alf, the prentice.
Master cook now, but prentice once.
Your eye is gleaming in the candlelight, holding the bright knife for the cutting of the cake.
Yes. I should like to speak to you, Smith Smithson, before we go back to your country.
I've often wanted to speak with you. But although you always looked at me with friendly eyes, you always seemed to avoid talking to me alone.
If I looked at you with friendly eyes, then they took their gleam, as they do now, from this star. See? If I touch it with my forefinger, then the gleam leaves my eyes. It is about this thing that I want to speak to you.
What do you mean?
Do you not think, Master Smith, that it is time for you to give it up?
What is that to you, Master Cook? Isn't it mine? It came to me. And may a man not keep the things that come to him so? At the least as a remembrance.
Some things. Those that are free gifts and given for remembrance.
Well...
but others are not so given. You look troubled.
I was thinking with gratitude of all that the stars brought me.
I know. And I also know you to be a generous man.
Then what should I do? Should I give it to one of the great in Fairy? Should I give it to the king?
You could give it to me. But you might find that too hard. Will you come with me to my storeroom and put it back in the box where your grandfather laid it many years ago?
I didn't know that. What are you going to do with the star?
This year, I shall prepare my second 24 feast. The only master cook, as far as is remembered, ever to bake 2 great cakes. I wish to put the star in it.
Very well. You shall have it. Do you know who'll find it?
We shall see. Here's the box from where the star came. If you put your hand to your forehead, it will come away easily.
Oh.
Smith?
A sudden stab of pain. The star burns so brightly. A blurred dazzle of light that seems far away. I cannot see clearly. You must put it in the box for me.
You gave me the star freely. It shall go to anyone that you appoint.
Oh?
So?
Well, I wonder what you may think of my choice. I believe you have little reason to love the name of Noakes, but, well, his little great-grandson, Tim, is coming to the feast, though he's not an obvious choice.
Neither were you, but I agree. Indeed, I'd already chosen Tim.
Then why did you ask me to choose?
The Queen wished me to do so. If you'd chosen differently, I should have given way.
If you meet the King, say to him, "The time has come. Let him choose."
But, Lady of Fairy, where then is the King?
If he has not told you, Starbrow, then I may not.
I understand at last, sir. You have done us much honour.
I have been repaid. Go home now, in peace.
It was evening as I turned my steps towards home, and the even star was shining in a luminous sky close to the moon.
Dad! You're home!
Ned.
I've been hoping for you since yesterday. Oh, how tired you look. Have you walked far?
All the way from daybreak to evening. Still, I shan't be going on journeys again, Ned. Not on long ones, if you understand me.
Oh, is that the way it is, Dad? I wonder what to become of the star. That's hard.
Well, there it is. I've handed it on. And come back to hammer and tongs.
Father, do you remember the day when you came back with the flower? And I said that you looked like a giant by your shadow?
Hmm.
Well, the shadow was the truth.
Prentice! I want a word with you, Prentice!
What can I do for you, Master Noakes?
Well, I was just sitting out here in the sun, trying to have a nap. But that cake's been on my mind again. It was the best cake I ever made, and that's saying something. But perhaps you've forgotten it.
No, Master. I remember it very well. But what's troubling you?
It's that little trinket. The star. I cannot make up my mind what became of it.
Don't trouble yourself about it, Master. Somebody swallowed it.
Oh! You might swallow one of those little coins and not notice it, but not that star. It was small, but it had sharp points.
I assure you, somebody did.
Then who?
It was Smith's son, Master, and I think it was good for him.
Oh, go on, you're having a game with me. Don't be ridiculous.
Well, if you won't believe it was Smith, I can't help you. Perhaps it doesn't matter much now. Will it ease your mind if I tell you that the star is back in the box?
Huh?
See? There it is, Master. Down in the corner.
So it is. At least it looks like it.
It's the same one, Master. I put it there myself a few days ago. It will go back in the great cake this winter.
Aha! I see. So you nipped it out before the baking and kept it for another time. Oh, you were always a tricky fellow. Nimble, one might say. Well, that's cleared up. Now I can have a nap in peace.
Goodbye, Master.
Eh?
Noakes, your knowledge is so great that I have only twice ventured to tell you anything. I told you that the star came from Fairy. And I have told you that it went to the smith, and twice you laughed at me. Now, at parting, I will tell you one thing more. Don't laugh again.
What?
You are a vain old fraud, fat, idle, and sly.
What are you talking about?
I did most of your work. Without thanks, you learned all that you could from me, except respect for Fairy and a little courtesy. And you have not even enough of that to bid me good day.
Well, if it comes to courtesy, I see none in calling your elders and betters by ill names. You take your Fairy and your nonsense somewhere else, and go along with you. And if you've got one of your Fairy friends hidden in the kitchen, send him to me and I'll have a look at him. If he waves his little wand and makes me thin again, I'll think better of him.
Would you spare a few moments for the King of Fairy? By this jewel upon my forehead, old man, you are at least not my elder. As to my better, you have often sneered at me behind my back. Do you challenge me now openly?
No, sir, no. Oh, don't do me harm. I'm only a poor old man.
Alas, yes. You speak the truth. Do not be afraid. But will you not expect the King of Fairy to do something for you before he leaves you? I grant you your wish. Farewell. Now go to sleep.
But when he woke, he was convinced that his encounter with the King of Fairy was no more than a dream.
Ugh. It must have been that pork at dinner. I must be more careful what I eat.
And from that day, Noakes became so lean, his clothes and his skin hung on him in folds and creases, and the children called him Old Rag and Bones. Still, as a thinner man, he lived longer than he would otherwise have done, and indeed just made his century, the only memorable thing he ever achieved.
This is the 24 feast, and there are 24 of you. And now for the great cake. It is my second and my last. Mr. Prentice Harper, bring it in. And while Mr. Prentice sharpens the knife, Master Smith will sing.
La 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 la.
I looked at the children as they sang and danced. Beautiful and lively. Any one of them seemed fit to find the star. But my eyes were mostly on Tim, a rather plump little boy, clumsy in the dances, but with a sweet voice.
And now we'll cut the cake. The knife, Mr. Prentice.
Yay!
And make sure you find all the coins and trinkets.
Mr. Cook.
Yes, Tim?
Only cut me a small slice, please. I've eaten so much already, I'm rather full.
I'll eat yours.
No, no. For Tim, I'll cut you a special slice. There. I think you'll find it goes down easily.
So, you are my heir. I wonder what strange places the star will lead you to. Poor old Noakes. Still, I suppose he'll never know what a shocking thing has happened in his family.
Now, I have something to say, and it is this. Goodbye.
What?
In a day or two, I shall be going away. Master Harper is now quite ready to take over. He is a good cook, and as you know, he comes from your own village. I shall go back home.
Goodbye, Alf.
Thank you for the cake.
Goodbye.
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 Take my hand, little Tim. I must be off.
I'm sorry.
Thank you. As for the rest of you, I do not think you will miss me.
But several families, in fact, did miss Alf. And a few of us grieved at his going. And sometimes we would open the little casket I made and look long at the living flower until the casket closed again. But the time of its shutting was never ours to choose.